When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Spanish Aquí Presents, the newly vaxxed up Spanish Aquí Presents with Ryza, Tony, and Oscar. We're here.
We're ready to go.
We are vaxxed and we're waxed.
Okay.
Some of us are hairy.
Are we?
Okay.
Surely, we're getting there. I just read that June 15th, they're going to take away the mask mandate.
Really?
For California?
June 15th?
I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you guys ready for this? Like, it's not the pick up, but are you ready for that? Like, are you ready for this?
It's not the pick up.
Absolutely.
So fast.
Not.
Well, everything's opening up, but then they just added. He added that also on top of everything opening, the mask mandate is going to go away.
¿Quién es he?
But I think Newsom. Okay. Kevin Newsom.
Okay.
Sorry, I should have prefaced that by saying that.
I just, because it's different. I just wanted to know because it would be different if it was Biden. That's why I wasn't sure.
Oh, no. Because it's just pertaining to California. Yeah, pertaining to California.
Well,
yeah.
No, I thought it was for the whole U.S. That's why I was like,
You think I prefaced it by saying it's for California.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My bad.
We could play the tape again. Jordan, play the tape.
No.
Just kidding. But yeah, that's coming up in a month.
It is so scary. I don't think so. I will say, I'm like an indoor cave animal, and I went to my very first social event
and you crumbled
this weekend. Fully masked. Tell me why I got a fucking cold.
Me?
Oh, what?
Me too. No.
Because you have to go out and get
Oscar, No.
Ryza, you too?
Listen, like, I've been coughing, like, in the last two interviews that we were
you
doing.
You and I have been, exactly, we've been a literal
that means
cacophony.
That you guys need to get out more.
No, one of you was on a plane, ¿verdad? Not.
I was, okay, hold on, yes. I was on a plane, I went to Miami, but you know my OCD ass had my gloves and my mask y todo. And, I pretty much know where I got it from kissing my nephews and nieces, probably, because
your
two of
nephews,
them.
Your nephews, nieces?
My nephews and my nieces, two of them.
And your nieces.
Yeah, both of them. All of them. There's more than two.
You're like,
Ryza.
No. Well, because I texted my family thread and I was like, bro, who the fuck is sick? I literally said that this morning. I was like, because
I kissed everyone. I need a list.
Yeah. I was like, yo le estaba dando beso to the little babies. And I didn't kiss. I'm like,
patient zero?
And then I found out that two of them one of them has like coffee flame on the other. But also kids are always sick.
Full of germs.
So that's
stay away from children.
Yes, one. And two, though, I was going to say, like, my mom actually kind of had she's a mom. She knows this stuff, right? She was like,
moms.
Yeah, but Tere, shout out to Tere. She made a pretty good point. She's like, a lot of us are going to she said that she thinks that a bunch of people will get sick, like a regular thing because our immune system, we've been.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So she, I mean, again, like, I'm sure we all know this, but I didn't really have that in my brain while I was texting them. And I was like, oh, yeah. Thanks, mom.
Can you say that again? What's the about the immune system?
That our immune system is not as strong as it was pre-pandemic because I never would get sick. Like, I'm the kind of bitch that it will rain on me and I will go inside
barefoot?
AC, barefoot, uh-huh.
Walking around
descalza. Toda descalza y
te
todo.
Va a dar un resfriado, nena.
Yo sé, uh-huh, mira que the vein is gonna pop in the foot. That's what one of the moms used to tell me. But anyways, I'm like, I never would get sick, like, knock on wood. And I was like, the first fucking trip after being vaccinated that I go for Mother's Day, y coño, I come back with my throat. Fine. I mean, look at my voice is raspy.
The cold is happy to be back. You know, they took a year off. Hardly anybody got a cold in 2020.
It makes so much sense.
It's fine.
You know what? It's making its comeback.
You know, are we ready to be unmasked? No, I mean, people forget that, like, hey, listen, we all got our vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't exclude the other you know, sicknesses we can contract.
Exacto, exacto.
From like, other people, you know?
Yeah, like I'm going to dinner tomorrow night for my birthday. And like, I'm already like anxious about coughing in public because I'm like, oh my God, everybody's going to think I'm disgusting. Because
you know people
bro.
Are going to stare.
People yeah. are stare. Yeah, just hold your vaccination card next to your face. Like, I'm fine.
I already, I have
that. Be, that should be your mask.
No.
My back.
Your vax card over your
Pfizer.
Mouth.
I'm just going to dress so hot that nobody's going to care.
I sure, you know what? Guys, I call me crazy, but
be
I
like,
feel
who's
like
the sick hot lady.
I'm going to start an Etsy. It's okay. A mask that with a clear front and you can just slide the thing. And you could just put it over your thing.
I love it. I have it on my phone now because they texted me, the people that I did my shot, and now I have it on my Apple Wallet.
Okay. Or you could just take a picture and save it in your memos. It's fine.
I don't know where mine is. I don't know where mine is. I think I left it
you
out.
You lost your card? Your vax card?
I think I don't want to blame it on my cleaning on my cleaning lady because I love her and I think that I left it in a spot que ella me limpió and I don't know where it is. I have a stack of papers that I need to organize que ella me lo puso todo like clean and like all nice without like cat hairs and dust. And I'm like, I need to do this, but I don't know where my card is. It's fine. I got it digital. Fine.
Well, this is a very good transition into our peak. Since if I don't put a stop to it, it's retroactively turning into a new peak.
I know.
Sure. I have a question. Then if we're gonna extend this, Carlitos, which vaccine did you get? I'm just curious.
Oh yeah, you're the only one.
Pfizer.
Oh. Oh, I'm the only Moderna girl here.
Mírala.
What did you guys talk about? Judgment from people getting Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer?
No judgment at all. It doesn't matter.
As long as you got the vaccine.
This is what I say. As long as you got the Backstreet Boys vaccine or the NSYNC, you'll be fine. If you have the 98 degrees one, you should.
I've seen the meme.
I didn't even know it's a meme. I literally just...
There's a meme like that, like about like so many things. Like it's like the Android I think Android is like Johnson & Johnson. Apple iPhone is like Pfizer. Moderna was...
The Dolly Parton shot.
Like a BlackBerry or some shit. I don't fucking know. They're just
Moderna
like...
Moderna can't be the BlackBerry. That doesn't
Maybe the other way. Yeah. I don't know.
It doesn't equate right.
Whatever. Yeah, let's do the pica.
But that'd be fun. Let's do the pica. It's about cooking, guys. I was wondering, did we learn anything from... Like, did we learn new skills? Did we cook? We were forced to cook for, you know, when everything shut down. I remember when I first came back to... It was actually... I flew back from working... directly into the lockdown was when there was no toilet paper and everybody ransacked all of the supermarkets. And it took me like 5 trips to just gather enough supplies to feed myself.
Oh boy.
I have been cooking forever just because. Because I be broke ass bitch sometimes and it's just cheaper to cook. So for me, the pandemic having to cook so much wasn't such a big turn like around. I think. It does suck the idea of when I am lazy and I don't want to cook. And then I felt like a lot of the places that I would want to order food from because of the pandemic, which I totally get and I respect, but like the prices went up a little bit and like it became a little bit more difficult. So that to me was like, fuck, like I was like, damn, like, okay, like I got to choose between cooking this because I'm on a budget or, you know, spending $21 on a freaking burrito. Like, seriously.
But
a lot of, you know, there's some things that I don't mind paying. Obviously, we know the apps like whatever are trash, but that's a whole other fucking peek out. But anyways,
we talked about it.
Yeah, we did. And so I think like I definitely tried like some newer things like I hadn't done like ropa vieja. And I did that. I did ropa vieja for my boyfriend's family because I don't eat meat. So I made it for them. Cuban style from scratch. My sister like walked me through it.
Please describe ropa vieja.
Ropa vieja. Tony,
for people who
you
don't
got
know.
So excited, you
ropa vieja, I love it.
You eat
old
meat.
Clothes,
old clothes.
Yeah,
that's
I used to
right.
call it ropa sucia when I was in Miami.
Really,
it's not as appetizing.
Well, it might have some olives and like olive juice is a dirty martini. It could be ropa sucia.
Why is it ropa vieja?
It's shredded. It's carne. It's like shredded, and then you literally. That's the one thing that was kind of hard. I had to have my boyfriend's mom help me because I didn't want to do that part.
Desbredada.
Like. Deshebrada. I don't know. Whatever. You just have to like, you rip the fucking like la carne and then you like, you put, you know, you have
as you do with clothes.
Yes, exactly. Oh. But I don't know why it's called ropa vieja. Do you know, Tony?
It's for that texture. You know what? I used to know, and now I don't. Oh. But it's supposed to be that. No, I'll get back to you.
Okay, no help.
You know what? I had the answer, and it has just recently left my brain. Thank you very much. Let's move on.
Truly, I was on a podcast about food, and we talked about this, and I don't remember.
Yeah, a lot of people bring that up, too. Like, when I tell them I'm Cuban, they're like, oh, ropa vieja. And I'm like, oh, fuck, is that what you know? Interesting. But yeah, I don't know. I think I just tried to eat healthy and cook and stuff.
I just found it online. Sorry.
After the first couple months where I was like, oh, we're really fucking in this for a long time. Okay, cool. Well, now like I need to get my shit together and actually order healthy because yo estaba comiendo mierda in the beginning and yes. drinking and eating yeah, and not sure. giving we a fuck did. About the yeah. workout, whatever. But obviously, you know, we've talked about like the whole flip on that when we all found out this was going to be way longer. Yeah. But yeah,
we thought it was going to be a month of like, oh, let's have candy.
Yeah.
Let's have
my birthday's in the pandemic. Yeah. Let me be a little cochinita and eat everything I want. And then I'll be back to normal. Nope. No.
I was actually I tried to take care of myself in the early months because I was afraid of like a weak immune system. Weak. Jesus, Tony, I can't talk.
A weak.
But like I didn't want to drink every night because I didn't want to risk, you know, getting okay. COVID.
Having a good time? Oh.
Well, we didn't know shit. That's the thing, though, too. Like, in the beginning, we didn't even know.
Did we talk about this? Like, if there was never going to be a world where they would say, hey, we would have lost our minds. We talked about this. They would say, hey, this is going to take a year.
Yeah.
It's like the airports. Like, it's going to be 5 more minutes. It's going to be
we can't do 2 weeks. We can't
do. People would have lost their mind.
Wild, wild. What about you guys?
Nothing changed for me.
No.
I kept cooking in the same shit. But I actually, the only thing that changed is, no, it didn't. If anything changed for me, it changed this year because I was getting ready for Hentified. So that's, I've mentioned this before. I took a food sensitivity test. I found out all the stuff that I was eating on the regular. Ooh. That was not good for me. So I rehauled everything, all my, like my grocery from right before the year, right before I went to visit my family for the holidays. I was already like figuring out what to buy, what to get rid of, what to do. So I took all of that information and in January, I just started to cook regularly for myself, stuff that was different from the pandemic because I didn't know at that time.
And if you want to know how this enabled Carlito's body, please go to his birthday Instagram post where he is thirst trapping. That was it. I just want to plug your bod.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I lost a significant amount of my weight. And that was, but it was mostly, it was working out, but it was definitely like eating good. And it wasn't even that crazy. We're not going to make a detour into it, but basically I wasn't hungry. I just ate all this stuff. So that helped me. So I have more of like a journey now than I did during the pandemic, you know, when I was cooking for myself.
What kind of stuff were you cooking? Like, what are some of your favorite meals that you
I have the salmon veggie dish that I make, and it's like and it's meal prep. So I'll make a batch that'll last me for like a week. Before it used to be random sizes, but now that I learn how to like count calories or to kind of like do the macros for it, now I know exactly how much I can serve and how much which is great because everything's about the same amount of vegetables. Like it's all like with weight, you can figure it out. So I have this thing and I have it down. I took out ingredients that I used to have that they're not good for me. I put in more stuff, but it's basically like a guisado de salmón. Mm. And and when I do it perfectly, it's almost like a dip. You've seen it. You've had some.
I've seen it. I haven't had it, but I've seen it. Yeah.
So I could either make it with pasta or I could just have it with chips. Either way, it's a fantastic meal that I can have. I also... my breakfast now, like I took eggs out because I can't have eggs. So now I literally just buy just chicken from Trader Joe's.
Oh.
I weigh it. I put it in the pan. I put a little bit of Daiya cheese on it. And me lo como como un open face sandwich. That's
so
like amazing. Not more than 300 calories. It's got a bunch of protein. It's really great. So stuff like that. Easy to kind of make, but the most cooking I do is for the salmon veggie dish, and I love it so much. I don't get sick of it. I also don't have to eat it every day. I just got an air fryer, which is I finally was like, I can make it because I had a toaster oven, but that was like taking forever, and I felt like, you know, now's the time, and I'm glad I got it because there's certain things you just want crispy right away, or you want to, and when you put them on the saucepan, it takes a minute, or it doesn't really cook the way you want for certain things.
I have a question. Can everybody say the name of the fish that Carlitos had?
Salmon.
Salmon. Oscar? Okay. So I say salmon and everybody makes fun of me. And I know
better
that a lot of people in Miami say salmon.
Salmon.
So, have you guys heard?
Because it's like it's an L. What's that L doing there?
So like
Francisco Ramos has a bit about L is silent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm like, I was wondering if you guys have like heard like people say it like that, yeah, like the other way.
Salmon.
Okay, cool. That was it. You said it.
That makes
it's
sense.
The same with almond.
Almond. I could do this all day, guys.
Almond.
What do you eat?
I'll have like, the almond salmon, please.
What's that like thing that comes in a pie from Italy? That you have like it's a tomato sauce, a pizza pie.
Oh, I know this. This is you. This is you, Oscar. You say
yeah, because this is my this salmon.
Pizza.
Like the tower pizza.
I say pizza.
That's how I used to say it. They would change
pizza.
Me.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza. I have to rearrange the word the in my mind. I have to rearrange it to Pete, P-E-T-E. And then space A for me to say the word correctly.
It's easy to do P-Z-E. C-A. Yeah. Pizza.
No. Pizza. No,
yeah, that's, you did it.
But my brain is like, no, that's wrong.
Okay.
Huh. I say tomato pie and you say pizza.
I say Silver Lake. Tomato pie, Silver Lake. That's my favorite pizza place in LA. Shout out.
It's so good.
Literally.
It's so good.
Literally.
Order it well done with a side of ranch.
Gluten-free pizza is...
Boring.
Ranch?
Listen,
never. I hate it.
Okay, well, put a little tapatio on it and then make it a little spicy. Está rico, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't hate it until you try it.
Oh, I've tried it. I've tried most things.
Oh, we know.
Is there a food you won't eat, Tony?
Ranch dressing, baby.
Is there a salchicha you won't have?
I hate it. Is there a
ranch?
I said, is there a salchicha you won't have?
Damn,
how dare you? How dare you? Do I know the salchicha? It depends. It all depends. Have I had the salchicha before? Is this a new salchicha?
Yeah,
do they have ranch in them?
Speaking of salchichas, Oscar, what have you been eating in the pandemic? Have you been cooking? What have you been doing?
Beautiful segue. Chef's kiss of a segue.
Meow, meow, meow.
Well, as an Oscar Mayer wiener,
I will say,
you know, I'm not a cook. I never claimed to be a cook. Cooking is not a forte of mine. And let's say... It is probably one of my biggest weaknesses. I never learned how to cook because I grew up in a drumroll toxic family where if a man was in a kitchen, he was gay.
Yeah.
So I was sort of barred from going to a kitchen and watching my mom cook. So I never, ever learned how to cook. And I think my adult life has been sort of attempts at cooking and just, I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's like you either know how to do it or you just don't.
But if it doesn't come naturally, you could just do paint by numbers and you should be fine. Like
theoretically speaking, Carlos, yes. But my crayons are brown. They're all like a weird dookie shade of brown.
Okay, it's like, or stuff like that.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
HelloFresh. Okay, Cupid, HelloFresh.
Listen, Carlos.
Okay, Cupid, HelloFresh.
Unless they're paying us, you do not say their name, Carlos.
Oh, sorry.
It's past. All right, no, I'm just kidding.
I will say is, you know, I've also been very blessed in my adult life to be in relationships with people who were very good cooks.
Oh.
So that person was always in charge of cooking and truly enjoyed cooking. It's not something that was like a chore for them.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas I was a part of the cleanup crew, which for me, it was like, I did not mind doing that at all. Mm. Like I was very aware of my responsibilities to clean up and do the dishes and whatnot. So but, you know, the pandemic, I was single, single and living alone. So I didn't
have roommates. I was single?
No, I am.
We're so close.
That's
so silly.
Oscar!
Man.
No.
Yo, anyway. I see it in your face. You don't want to talk about it. Look at him.
Okay. Well, y'all keep thinking that I'm in this phantom relationship with a person I don't know, But I am single, living in the pandemic and having to defend for myself. Have experimented with some lewd.
Yes. Go
experimented.
On.
Say their name.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Ralphs.
I'm not. Yeah.
A bunch of Ralphs.
Yeah. His Hot. Name is Vons. And oh. we're
really
quite
cool
happy.
Cat. Oh my God.
But yeah, like I'm not good. I'm learning how.
But I mean, with YouTube
cook.
Around, like, I feel like...
That's how I'm learning. Yeah, that's yeah. how I'm okay. learning. And the thing is, like, there is a really cool confidence boost when you make a meal that isn't a tragic nightmare. You feel really good. You're like, oh my gosh, I, like, got the ingredients and I put them together and somehow it's edible.
Yeah.
But then there is a incredible sense of shame and defeat when you create something that you think is going to work and looks good. But it's unedible. I'm also a very picky and finicky eater, so I don't eat everything.
Yeah.
My palate is very limited to a couple of things. So there's a lot of things that I will not eat. So,
like what? Ranch?
Ranch.
Like, you
Wait,
know.
You don't really like ranch?
No.
Oh my God.
Blue cheese?
Blue cheese?
Blue cheese, yes. Blue cheese is fine. On salads, yes.
Would you
yes.
dip your pizza in a blue cheese?
Dip what?
I don't think I've ever done that.
Dip what?
I used to dip my pizza
anything in a pizza.
Really?
I love me some ranch on a pizza.
I used to put blue cheese on my pizza, but then my boyfriend said no. And then I just started doing ranch and that was how I changed.
Oh God. Oh my God.
You got shamed into switching to ranch?
He shamed me into ranch. But to be fair, he got me the tapatio. He got me on that tapatio game with the ranch. So like,
right.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's like when the French put mayonnaise and ketchup together.
Oh, I love
it.
You know what I've been doing now that I got the air fryer? I got roasted wings from Ralph's, and they're cold. They're whatever. But when I put them in there for 5 minutes, they're Ooh. So crispy and so good. Mm. And then I put in a bowl. I put Dijon mustard, and I have a full ass. But listen, a full ass bag that I've. Amassed a collection of like Taco Bell or Del Taco,
all
like
the
hot sauces
yeah.
that I've never had used. So I will use that with the Dijon mustard. It sounds weird, but when you mix it up, it creates such a fantastic.
Mm-mm. I totally
that's, follow me for more recipes.
I don't want to yuck your yum, but pass.
But anyways, you're
wow, I can hear your eye rolls now, Oscar.
It's so funny.
Oh, it sounds like a door creaking.
Me and Carlitos are so like. Our faces talking about food, we're such little gardeners. And I like to make this. We get so excited.
But it is, like Oscar says, it is very rewarding when you pull something together. I made a dinner, very like a steak dinner with some potato stuff. And then I was like, I'm going to make dessert. So I made like a...
That's a different beast.
I researched all this stuff and I did like... An easier way, like a healthier, like a gluten-free, like a strawberry shortcake, like dessert.
Ooh. Ooh.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And so it just felt very satisfying.
Because that's a completely different thing that we haven't spoken to. The baking aspect of it or the dessert side of it. Are you guys?
No,
I love
that.
In the roughest of times, and I could probably pick it up now because I have a good setup now, but... I got into a kick of making cookies and I got so good at it.
Oh, wow.
I think I've talked about this. In 2012, when things were really rough and I had very limited resources, like I could still get like, you know, like the ingredients to make cookies and like stuff like that. And I followed one recipe and then it started to change as I kept doing them. And then I would make them into balls and then put them in the freezer so I could just like have single serving. And then eventually what ended up happening is that it was so good that I remember my sister was like, bro, I'll give you some money for the recipe. Like, what are you doing? Like, it was really good. Like, I was doing it so much. I haven't done it in a long time, but I know I could pick it up again. That I just started to like, you know, because when you keep doing it, you're like, oh, I'm going to try this thing. Oh, this, you know, if I do this more, if I do less of this, or if I add this or a different topping. So yeah, cookies was like a cool thing. Baking is very therapeutic, I think. Yeah. I did two ingredients. Remember I told you I did two ingredient bread? Over the pandemic, which is disgusting, really, but it's fun.
But you did it. It's a milestone in the pandemic journey, you know? Yeah. I think you're the only one of the four of us to make bread during the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah, I was not going to make any bread or sourdough or whatever.
No, I wasn't. I didn't have the patience for that other stuff where you have to wait for it to rise and for it to grow.
Bro, fuck that. I want to make that shit and eat it right then.
Wow, what I'm suddenly realizing is that we're a very impatient group of people, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if I'm cooking, it's because I'm hungry, duh. Like, I want to eat it when it comes out.
But I did make gluten-free biscuits recently, and it worked.
Carlitos,
okay. you're making all this food. Hello, Carlos.
Why have I not gotten, like, a packet delivered in a little basket with a ribbon?
Because of pandemic.
Oh, pandemic. That's right. That happened. Oh, yeah.
Okay, fine. Oh, yeah. Wow. Blame it on a pandemic. Well, now since we know that June 15th, mask off, and the world is, well, sorry, not the world, California, you're feeding us dinner, you're making us dinner.
I will miss not wearing a mask in the morning. I've always had issues, like, I've always been very self-conscious about morning breath. And the one thing that gave me comfort in the mornings was that I could walk out around anywhere because of morning breath or hunger breath that happens
some
in the morning.
Stanky ass with a stanky ass mouth, Carlos?
Mm-mm. No, I feel like I have, because in the morning between breakfast and lunch, you get hungry and that's when it's not like you have bad breath. It's just like from the acid. Either way, I was happy to walk around with my mask and be like, nobody can tell. So I'll be a little sad. That'll go away.
Listen, you know what else gives you bad breath?
You can keep wearing masks.
What
keep
gives you masks? Bad breath?
Cafecito! Oh.
No, that makes you go to the bathroom.
Both.
Okay, so let's take a little cafecito break and make sure to brush our teeth before we interview our guests.
And I'll go to the bathroom for all of us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we are back from our cafecito break. And joining us today, we got a very special guest. He is a culinary chef, all-star, I mean, a Top Chef alum. Please give it up for Katsuji Tanabe. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for the invitation. I'm very, very happy to be doing stuff in Spanglish.
Yes.
I speak Mexican, I speak Spanish, and I speak English.
trilingual.
What do you say to someone when they ask you what does that mean? I speak Mexican, because that's what my Mexican friends tell me too. But they all have a different version.
You know, people say to me, like, "Oh, you speak Spanish." I said, "No. I speak Mexican. I'm not a Spaniard. I'm not European. I speak Mexican." It's like, "No, you speak Spanish." I said, "I speak certain level of Spanish, but it's Mexican. If you put me to talk to a Colombian or a Puerto Rican or a Dominican." There's a lot of things that we're not going to understand from each other, you know, and there's a lot of words that I will say that are bad in my Spanish. Sorry, like they're okay in Spanish, in Mexican, but they're awful in Argentinian. Like, okay, example, concha. You know, you guys are Mexicans, right?
No, you have a cubanita and a colombiano.
Okay, so for us Mexicans, conchas, it's a piece of bread with like a cookie on top. For Argentinians, it literally means pussy.
Yeah. I'm like, I have learned that the hard way, a lot of these slang things with a lot of that is, but what a beautiful thing though that we are like that type of people that just we could different words mean different things, which is fun, but it could be trouble.
But you're totally right. That is important to differentiate. Just because you speak Spanish doesn't mean that it's universal. Because the big misconception is that like, hablas español. So it's like everyone from every Spanish speaking country can understand each other. But like, I lived in Mexico City for a bit, and like I spoke Colombian Spanish, and they were so impatient with me because I speak muy despacio el español, and they were like, no, you got to speak faster.
And the other thing for me, it's, you know, I think many years ago, they will, you know, white people will talk down to us because they go, "I don't speak no Mexican," and I wanted to own it. I wanted to say, you know what? Yeah, you don't speak no Mexican, you pinche gringo. But what I mean is like, now I own the word Mexican. It's like, hey, yes, I speak Mexican. I have no shame on saying that I speak Mexican. Another example is like Cinco de Mayo. You know, people are like, well, it's not a real holiday. It's not a... I said, it doesn't matter. It still puts us as Mexicans as one day of the year that we deserve to be recognized. And I don't care if you get fucked up, if you get like wild. I said, you know, what's the Irish holiday? St. Patrick's.
St. Patrick's Day.
You know,
yeah.
St. Patrick's. It's not like they're putting the Irish culture on a pedestal and, you know, like praying to St. Patrick and saying it's amazing. It's a fucked up holiday to get fucked up. Yeah. And I have, you know, as a Mexican, I get very offended when people say that, well, you know, we should respect the holiday. No. As Mexicans, we get fucked up on every single holiday. you come to my house. Like, I remember when it was my daughter's baptism. We had more alcohol and more beer than anything else, you know? And it was like an adult party. Everybody's getting drunk by like 3 p.m. Everybody was drunk at my restaurant. But that's the, you know, as a culture, we like to drink, we like to party. And there should not be any shame whatsoever saying, you know what? Cinco de Mayo, Cinco de Drinco. I'm the wrong Mexican, you know, because people are like, well, you should respect the holiday. I'm like, no. Enjoy the holiday, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's okay, Katsuji. Just admit it. You just like to party. It doesn't matter what day it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sunday, fun day, whatever, you know? Yeah.
Eso. Right. I love that. Pero es verdad lo que tú dices, like, that is so much part of our cultura, like the drinking and especially like even how you just said, like a literal like baptism that has to do with like the Lord, our God. And you know what I mean? And like, you know, such purity. And then, okay, dale, everybody's pure. Let's go do shots, which is the like how we celebrate. And I do love that about our like our.
Yeah, it's how we socialize. It's like that's very. Like,
My mom was like literally, she's like, I'm not going to be drinking tonight. Or, you know, every time we do like something that it's in the morning, she's like, I'm not drinking anything. I'm only drinking beer. I was like, Mom, that's still drinking. But she's like, I'm not drinking to get drunk. I'm just drinking to have fun.
Yeah.
But then, like 6 hours later, she's like dancing and like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
Do you have a favorite cocktail or beer that you would say like this is my go-to if they have it anywhere you go or?
I change with the times, and this might come out so wrong. I don't drink Corona.
I don't like Corona.
It tastes like skunk.
It's not even the Corona premieres. Look, I've been living off a lot of these Corona premieres because they're 90 calories. Y mira que estoy en pandemic body, like a little bit dieta. Yeah. So I'm like, my boyfriend's Mexican and they drink a lot of beer too. So I'm like,
the only Corona that I drink is when it comes on a brown bottle. If it comes in a clear bottle, I don't drink it.
Okay. And if it's a cocktail, what's like miches or margarita?
No, I you know, now that I'm American, I've been drinking lots of whiskey. So I'm a Manhattan drinker, but I said Manhattan. And you know what's the funny part? Every time I remember living in New York, I would be like, can I get a Manhattan? And they're like, I'm sorry, what? A Manhattan. I was like, bro, like literally we're in the fucking island. I was like, I need a Manhattan. And they're like, what's that? I said, Manhattan? Oh, yeah, Manhattan. You know, like, yeah.
They were just messing with you at that point.
No. My accent always gets in the way, but I was like, really? Manhattan? No, there's not that much difference, you know?
Right.
So you mentioned living in New York. I know you also were previously also living in Los Angeles.
Chicago too. Yeah.
Yeah, and Chicago. Okay, so now you are currently in Raleigh. Because you have a new restaurant, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear about that because that's, you know, why Raleigh and what type of restaurant did you open there?
Well, it's not open yet. I will be opening in 2 months. But I moved out of California because it's getting crazy expensive. Like, you know, like I was living in a two-bedroom apartment in Beverly Hills and it was $4,000 for like 800 square feet. I moved to Raleigh, North Carolina, and for half the price, I have a mansion. I literally have a mansion. Look at this. This is just my bar.
I'm sorry,
you know,
what?
I have a bar in my house, you know? But anyways, I'm opening a Mexican restaurant in Raleigh, North Carolina, that it's all about not being in the mood of Mexican food. I want to break that stigma that people think, well, Mexican food should always be, crispy, crunchy, fried, cheesy, and gooey. Mm-hmm. And what I'm trying to do, it's more about vegetables, more about like fish, everything that it's local, more authentic in certain way, without being that like, you know, no piñatas on the walls, no mariachi music, no, you know, everything what you think that it's like should be a Mexican restaurant, I'm doing the opposite.
Right. You're not trying to do kitschy or gimmicky at all.
It's just, it's food. It's, mira, my boyfriend, like I said, he's Mexican, and sometimes I'll be like, what do you want to eat? And he goes, food. And I'm like, what does that mean? He goes, well, I'm Mexican. So for me, food, like when I say food, it's just Mexican food. And I was like, okay, fine. But like, that's true. Like, it's just food to us, or, you know.
Yeah. No, but I didn't want to make a place that, you know, you're going to have the same staples, like, you know, I don't know. I really wanted to like make it a place that people will go there, and maybe if you want to just keep it all vegetables, you know, you can have a great meal with all vegetables. But when you go to Mexican restaurants, vegetables are never on the forefront. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
You always see the enchiladas, the nachos, the taco, the tamal. Everything's like heavy in corn. I wanted to make a restaurant that it was more like you could eat at my restaurant, walk away, and don't feel like, oh my god, I have to take the biggest shit ever. No.
I love that.
I want you to come to my restaurant and be like, hey, you know what? I'm craving that sweet potato. I'm craving those butternut squash. Things like that.
I don't feel bloated already just listening to this. I'm like, because mira que yo soy vegan. So I literally just started being vegan. I've been vegetarian since I was in third grade. Yeah. And Mexican food is like one of my like top three like favorite foods to eat all the time, because it was always easy for me as a vegetarian por el queso y los frijoles y ciertas cosas. But now that I'm vegan, it's so much harder. So like I do have to look for vegetables in places, like you just said.
Mexican cuisine before the Spaniards, we are a vegetable culture. Mm-hmm. Nopales, ejotes, maíz, calabacitas, epazote, hongos, todo eso. We eat more vegetables in Mexico because, number one, they're cheaper. Number two, they're more nutritious.
Sí.
And number three, that's what grows in the land. So, like, you know, people be like, oh, you can't have Mexican food without pork. I was like, bro, pork, it's not the main ingredient.
Yeah.
Beef, it's not the main ingredient. But if you tell me, like, frijoles or maíz, or like I said, like calabacitas, nopales, all those things, you know, like I'm not a vegan. I'm far away from being a vegan. But if you give me a grilled nopal with salsa, lime, and a taco, I'm so happy. Or if you give me some like mushrooms that are being cooked in epazote and garlic, my God, what else you want? You know, like we as Mexicans, I think we haven't really tapped in the market of vegetables, you know. I think when the Mexican culture start promoting the food here, we wanted to cater to the Americans. Mm-hmm. We wanted to cater to the gringos. So that's why we put the pork, the beef, the cheese. You know, I love nachos. I have nothing against nachos. Are there Mexicans? Well, you could say they are because they were invented in El Paso, Texas in like 1920s. But or chili. Is chili Mexican? Well, not really. Chili is not Mexican. But it was invented of mixing chile colorado and adding the beans to make it more like an American stew. So I love, you know, like nachos. I love nachos. I love chili. But those dishes were not invented to cater to our culture. Those were invented to cater to the white people, you know?
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I feel like I've heard a lot about that with different types of like Latinx like food and stuff. You know, we always had to kind of Americanize everything a little bit so that
there's nothing wrong about it. But you know, don't come and tell me that Mexicans, we don't eat vegetables. Uh-huh. You know, we eat tons of vegetables. You know, I think the most Mexican ingredient are two things: huitlacoche and flor de calabaza, zucchini blossoms.
Oh.
And they're completely vegan, vegetarian, and they're one of the most exquisite things you could ever eat, you know?
Yeah.
Or simple, you know? And the other thing is, like, people always say things like, well, Mexican food should have cheese and sour cream. When I live in Mexico, the only cheese that we really used, it was cotija cheese.
Cotija, uh-huh. That's right.
And
that's the same.
But we don't use cotija to be melty. We use cotija because, number one, it looks nice to put that white stuff. Number two, it adds that salt content. But we don't eat that cheese like Europeans, like a melty or gooey. We eat it because it, you know, it came to our country. We figure out a way to preserve the milk and we make it super salty. But we use cotija cheese more as a salt component than a cheesy component.
I love that. I love cotija cheese. I can literally just eat some like authentic chips with frijoles y salsa and that's it. And like that is me, yo y mi hermana in Miami, porque no hay mucha comida mexicana buena in Miami. And I would go with her. There was one spot, and I feel like I tell the boys about this one all the time, but I'm like, it was called Taqueria Mexicana in Cayocho, and I would go there, me and her, solamente para los frijoles con el quesito y la salsita, And we would just like be there for like an hour eating that only.
something that you might not know about me, maybe because my name, but I'm half Japanese, half Mexican. You know, me growing in a Mexican Japanese household, my dad will always make refried beans. But in Mexico, you know, and you might know this, you know, refried beans, they're always cooked with lard. Yeah. My dad was never raised in Japan eating lard, so he will make refried beans with extra virgin olive oil, and it's literally one of the most delicious things ever.
Oh, and I've something had it like that.
Oh my god, you know, garlic, onion, get them nice and caramelized, tons of olive oil, and then the beans. Oh, they're delicious. And that's how really my dad ended up having sex with my mom, because my dad will go to my grandma's house and will make these beans, and everybody like, oh my god, they're so amazing. And that's probably, you know, I can say that my dad got laid thanks to beans. You know, my dad's a beaner at certain level.
Sex to beans, beans to sex, no?
Yeah.
Beans to sex. Beans comes first, sex comes second.
Yeah.
You know? So wait, your dad, so did you live in Mexico? How did your dad get to Mexico?
My grandfather moved to Mexico before La Segunda Guerra Mundial.
There we go.
He moved before La Segunda Guerra Mundial to be a spy.
What?
Oh, yeah. He was spying. My dad, my grandfather lived on Tijuana, Cabo, La Paz, Acapulco, Michoacán, everything on the West Coast. Because his job was taking pictures from the coast because they were planning to attack Pearl Harbor, obviously. And then from Pearl Harbor, land in Mexico. And then from Mexico, attack the United States. But that never happened.
Oh, wow. What a
story.
Yeah. But then that didn't happen. So then my grandfather became an architect in Mexico City. So he built these houses. And funny, interesting fact. All the houses that my grandfather built in the 40s had a huge basement. And in Mexico City, basements are not a common thing. Mm. But something very interesting. During World War II, we have concentration camps in Mexico for Germans, Italians, and Japanese. So my grandfather will actually put Japanese people in the basements to make sure they will not go to the concentration camps.
Yeah, right. To help save their lives. Oh, my God.
Well, no, I don't think they were going to kill them in Mexico.
Oh.
But my father always talked about, like, you know, I remember every Saturday and Sunday, we'll go to the concentration camps to drop soap, rice, salt, beans. Because people don't know this, but in Mexico, we had concentration camps. Just like we had concentration camps in California for the Japanese.
We certainly did. Yeah, we had internment camps during that time. Yeah.
So we have internment camps in Mexico, but people don't talk about these things. They just don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. Okay.
And so speaking of, like you're saying, like people don't talk about these things, and the fact that you are half Mexican, half Japanese, you grew up with two different cultures, and, you know, how was that growing up? And also, like, in regards to, like, being a chef, like, choosing, like, what type of food I'm going to make, like, because, you know, you're not just one, like, just Mexican, so you're just going to go straight on to do Mexican food, and you've done different stuff.
And too. Also, to add on to that, like, how did you want to become a chef? Was that something that your family did? Yeah. Were you, like, the black sheep of the family that you're like, I'm going to become a chef, and everyone's like, what?
Yes.
Right, I'm gonna answer all those questions because there were so many questions. Number one, I didn't realize I was living on a Mexican-Japanese house until I started going out in, you know, in elementary school to my friends' houses. You know, like, hey, you wanna come for lunch? You wanna come for dinner at my house? Like, yeah. And I will go to my friend's house. And, you know, what's the most Mexican soup that a kid could eat? In Mexico City, for me, was sopa de fideo, or sopa de letritas, or sopa de estrellitas. But in my house, all these sopas, de estrellita, fideo, whatever, my dad would always put soy sauce and a little bit of fish sauce. And I thought that was completely natural.
Yeah.
So I went to my friend's house, and I was like, hey, can I have the soy sauce for my sopita? And they're like, what do you mean, soy sauce? And he's like, well, I put soy sauce on fideo, and I put soy sauce on sopa de estrellita. And they're like, that's not normal. That's when I realized I was living in a house that didn't make sense. Like, on Sundays, my dad will always make tempura, shrimp tempura, fish tempura. And then my mom will make a salsa and tortillas, so we will make tempura tacos. Years later, that became like
a thing,
you know,
yeah.
Fish tacos. But that was one. Two, you know, like, was I the black sheep of the family? Absolutely. Yeah. I remember in the 80s when I told my dad, like, hey, I really want to be a chef. And they're like, what? We're sending you to the best schools. You're going to, like, private school. You're going to Europe. You're going to, like, United States. You have the best education. Why would you want to be a cook? Cooks are the people that work in jails, and then they come out of, and I was like, I really like food. And then that was from my dad's side. From my mom's side, they were like, are you gay? I was like, not that I know. You know? Because I will, you know, my
of an immigrant, coño, mira, you're either the black sheep because you pick something of the arts, or and we very much relate about this, and we talk about it a lot, Katsuki, and like, or like, is she a lesbian? I'm like, because I did so many sports, I'm like, I just like sports.
I always wanted a magic, what's the name of the magic oven or the...
Easy Bake Oven.
The Easy Bake Oven. They never bought me an Easy Bake Oven because it was all pink and it was all about girls.
Yeah.
So my grandma, she's like, I can let you make cakes in the microwave. So I literally started cooking as a chef. Well, not as a chef, as a cook back in the days. My grandma would allow me to play around with the microwave. I was never allowed to use the... And this is like, I'm 7, 8 years old. So I'm really young. Wow. So she's like, you cannot use the stove because you're going to burn, but you can use the microwave. And I will make cakes. I will make quesadillas. I will cook chorizo. I will do a lot of things in the microwave. I was excited to, you know, to use a microwave. But then my grandma, she always said, like, this kid's going to be a chef. I was always amazed about how you could add fire to something and turn it into something else. You know, for me, the first thing I learned is, like, if you add fire to water and you put pasta and salt, something that it's unedible, that it's hard, you can make it, you can eat pasta. And as a kid, you eat very simple, you know, you eat pasta with water. And I was so amazed of how the fire transformed those things. You know, for me, it was always about food. Everything that I did is like, how can we get food involved in that? At a very young age, I realized that one time my mom made a really bad cherry pie. It was awful. It was disgusting. And I arranged the pie in a way that it looked beautiful, make it nice, whipped cream. And people were like, oh my God, this is really nice. And then I realized that people can eat with their eyes. The food might not be perfect, but if you make it look beautiful, they're more enticed to eat it. And I started playing with that. So for me, food was always my drug, literally since I was a kid. Like, I always like to eat. I always like to see the transformation. And number one is, like, I am the type of person that I will never eat alone. I will always break bread with someone. You know, even if I'm traveling, I'll talk to the bartender, I'll talk to the server, or if someone's sitting at the bar, I'll sit close to be like, hey, can we just talk? You know, I make sure that food, it's a social expression of myself.
Yeah, it's an experience.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, there's something about going to eat. You just, like how you said that, like eating with other people too. Like, it's it's just so nice, which is something, you know, again, like we're in the middle of this like crazy world and pandemic y todo. And like, that is something that like I love. And like, sometimes it's too crazy when you have like 20 people or 10 people at a table, pero así es como me gusta. Like, I love having to like gritar, oye, pásame el pan or whatever. And just like, it's an experience. You're enjoying yourself, you're drinking, and that's a vibe.
Yeah, like, but it's also transformative, like what you said earlier, you know what I mean? This idea of like eating food out of nourishment versus eating food as an elevation of just nourishment, you know? Mm-hmm. This is a social connection, a bridge, you know? An art form, really. Like, the way that you said that, like, you can enjoy food with your eyes as well. That's something huge. You know what I mean? You just don't eat when you're hungry. You eat because you want to feel satisfied. And when you talk about like going to culinary school, it's like, no, it's not just chef school. You're just, you're not just learning how to cook. You're learning how to create pieces of art on a plate that people will digest and consume. You know, that's huge. That's super important.
Yeah.
And that separates like a chef from a cook, I think, you know?
Exactly. But, you know, I have all that family lifestyle, all that family food oriented, wine, tequila, beer was always part of the experience. But then I moved to the United States and that changed a lot of the dynamics because I moved to the United States without speaking the language and without any money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really? So what made you move to the United States to begin with?
My parents got divorced. Money disappeared. I couldn't go to college. I said to my mom, I was like, no, I'm going to be in Mexico. I'm going to make it. But then I realized it doesn't matter how hard you work in Mexico. You're never going to make money. You know, it's, if you're poor, you're always going to be poor. It's, you know, very little chances that you could move up. But then in moving to America, I said to myself, I said, in 1999, I said, if in 10 years, I'm not an owner of a restaurant, I'm going back to Mexico. And I, you know, 10 years later, I became the owner of my first restaurant in Beverly Hills.
Oh, que se llamaba
Mexico Kosher.
Yes, which is
Mexican
also
kosher food. It was, it was, you know, circumcised porks.
Cochinitos. I love it. Okay, I have a question that I personally, I love to ask this to anybody that is a chef. You guys are always known for the cooking scars. Can you tell us a quick story of one of like your cooking scars? Because that's something that I learned watching Anthony Bourdain. And like, and then I, you know, other chef, and I was like, oh, I love scars. So like,
I have a great one. This is in Mexico. I'm working for free at this Italian restaurant. I was like 17 years old. They were not going to pay me, so I was just a dishwasher. And, you know, in Mexico, you don't get paid by the hour. You get paid by the day. Mm-hmm. So average day, it's 14 hours. You know, you get $5 per day. And I remember one day, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm super tired. I'm going outside. I literally pulling out this trash bag full of broken bottles. And I pull out the back of this broken bottle and a piece of broken bottle in my arm goes like this. So I have 43 stitches on my arm because this bottle went that. And by the way, I pull it out. I did it, went back to work. And I didn't realize.
Notice?
No, I didn't notice because, you know, the heat of the moment, whatever. And then the chef is like, hey, you're bleeding. I was like, oh, shit. I said, I'm bleeding a lot. I was like, you could see the. I was like, yeah. So I have like 43 stitches on this arm because they, and obviously in Mexico, you don't have insurance. So they're like, hey, you want to put some duct tape on that? I was like, yeah, I'll put some duct tape.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, no. Y pulling the duct tape out after sounds hasta peor.
then my grandma, she's like, oh my God, we're taking to the hospital. And then like, took all these stitches. I have another one on my finger. I have no feeling on this finger. Because I was slicing bread on that slicer, and then my finger went on the slicer. Whoop.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm
so
bad.
They had to reattach your finger?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, ooh. My God.
Wow.
I was 18 years old.
These war wounds. Oh, I'm my well,
yeah.
gosh.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew you'd have a good one. I'm like, yeah. I love to hear
these. I got so many. I got a third-degree burn on my hand, you know? Like, yeah, no. I was working in Santa Monica at Houston's on Third Street and Wilshire. Mm-hmm. You know Houston's. Yeah. And there was this Korean kid next to me, and he was searing tuna on a cast iron full of oil. And I said to him, I said, "You put too much oil. It's because we were cooking together. I was a thing. And I said, "That's a lot of oil." He's like, no. And then he throws a piece of tuna and it splashed all my hand, and all my hand is like, fuck. And I was like, I could see literally my hand getting like, oof. And I went to the hospital. They're like, "We're going to do a skin graft from your ass and put it on your hand." Thank God nothing happened. They put me some cream made out of silver that it was like amazing. But I remember that fucking Korean kid. I was like, "What the fuck, bro? Like, you just fucking burned me." Like, God, like that's.
And he was like, "Oops."
Yeah, he was like, "Oops."
He's like, "You're right. That was too much oil." Okay, yeah, you win. Yeah, he's like, "You win, and now you're burned. My bad."
I know. He learned his lesson that day. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Bueno, mira, I also have some cooking scars, so I guess now I'm a chef. No, I'm just kidding. But every time I do get burnt, I'm like, I do that sometimes. I'm like, "Oh my God, y se me pica." And I'm like, "Ay, coño." I'm like, I have all these scars from like just oil, truly, nothing else. And cutting my fingers when I cut vegetables. But I feel like those are always really fun stories. So thanks for sharing those for sure. Yes. Thank you so much for being with us. We are so happy to have you on and listen to your stories and your journey.
This is fun.
Yes. Where can our audience members and fans, where can they find you? And if you have anything, maybe you can tell us what the name of the restaurant in Raleigh is and when it'll be opening, the date, if you have one yet.
Oh, I didn't tell you, but as a Mexican that we like to drink, I'm coming out with a pre-mixed drink. Like literally, you pop the tap.
Oh.
And I have a tamarind pisco sour.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a cucumber margarita.
Ooh.
But these are like ready to go cocktails that you open, you put it on ice, and you get it's like two drinks in one. They're so strong.
And what are they called?
Yeah.
Katsuji's Cucurita and tamarind pisco. This is more for people that are in the Chicago area. Hopefully, we're going to take them national. Okay. And then my restaurant in Raleigh is going to be called A Verde. A Verde. Because in Mexican, when we say, "Where are you going?" A Verde. Or a la casa de los tíos. Or a la, you always say, restaurante. So I was like, let's make it more Mexican. So it's going to be A Verde.
Verde. Oh, love it.
Yeah.
So cute.
And you guys can find me on Instagram. I post a lot of stupid bullshit and funny and politically incorrect Mexican stuff all the time.
Mira, and what's at your least handle? You're honest. Yeah, what's your handle on Instagram?
Oh, it's my name. Katsuyu Tanabe.
Okay, perfecto. Perfect. And we'll make sure to tag following you. Yes, we'll follow and tag. And then also, everyone, you could follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on Instagram and at Spanish Aquí on Twitter. You could follow Carlos at, of course, it's Carlos on IG. You could follow me at Raisa Licea on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at Azimo on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow Tony at TonyRodrig@gmail.com. Just kidding. It's the Tony Rodrig on Instagram and Twitter. Katsuji, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. You
guys,
were amazing.
You
were so fun.
Literally one of the best podcasts that I ever done. You guys are fun.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Thank you. Y mira, si estás en Los Angeles, when the world opens up at some point, we'd love to have you at our live show when we start it again.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. I will, thank you guys for bringing the Latin culture to a different level. Yeah, that's it.
Love that. Yes.
Yeah, thanks for putting our culture out there. We're fucking amazing.
Hell yeah.
Yes, we
are.
Yes,
I need that on a t-shirt.
A huevo. A huevo.
A huevo, dale.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you. Spanish Aquí Presents is an Earwolf production executive produced by me, Raisa, Tony, Carlos, and Oscar. It's engineered by Jordan Duffy and produced by Anita Flores.
You can follow us on social media on Instagram at Spanish Aquí Presents and Spanish Aquí on Twitter.
Find our latest merch at potswag.com and especially look out for the Spanish Aquí Presents enamel pin set featuring all of our beautiful faces.
Yeah, and help us get the word out by telling a friend about the show today.
Make sure to rate and review Spanish Aquí Presents and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.
Want more Spanish Aquí Presents? Find our full archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code SAP for a 1-month free trial at stitcher.com/premium.